You're listening to the Book Club at 91.7. I'm Mark Purcell. Thanks for listening in on this Saturday morning. On the phone with me is Lizzie Skernick. Fans of the New York Times Magazine may recognize her byline under the That Should Be a Word column. Lizzie has a new book out based on that column, That Should Be a Word, A Language Lover's Guide to Chorgasms, Povertunity, Brattling, and 250 other much-needed terms for the modern world. Lizzie Skernick, welcome to the Book Club at 91.7.
Thanks so much for having me.
Where did this come from, Lizzie? I mean, I've loved your column for a long time, and as I told you before we went on the air, I always howl when I read That Should Be a Word on a Sunday morning. Where did it originate with you?
Well, you know, I've always rhymed ever since I was a little girl. I've always liked a pun, and I've always made up words. You know, in college, we used to speak a sort of a Cockney made-up language, so no one knew what we were talking about. And so I think when I started this column, you know, I didn't realize I even had this talent, but when I started it, the words just started coming, and they really don't stop.
They keep on going.
It's a little freaky.
a lot of these are your creations, or how much help do you have in putting some of these together?
The only help is my psyche and intellect.
And the modern world, right?
Exactly, and fear and chaos. It's just me. People do send me words, and I think it's just a bunch of fun, and they also ask me to make up words. So there's a lot of call and response, but the words are all mine.
I was wondering if there is any part of speech that shows up most often in That Should Be a Word. It seems that it's heavy on the nouns, but I do see adjectives and verbs in there, too. Are the nouns predominant?
Well, there's one thing I noticed that it's not that I overuse it, but eight. The words ending with A-T-E, you know, plasticate, ingestigate, eight shows up a million times. And also, you know, I grew up speaking Yiddish, and so you'll get words like spitz, you know, which is to use your spit to clean someone else's face, and other sort of slightly Yiddish words in there all the time. And some French. I would say French, Yiddish, and technological are my big languages.
So in the book you have 250 plus words that should be a word. But what's your vocabulary in total? I mean, I'm sure this is just a small cross section, Lizzie.
I've never tested it. I do pretty well on those vocabulary tests online. Although I have to say, generally speaking, I just know the general area. I was watching George, you know, Curious George with my son the other day, and they had herpetologist. And I couldn't remember, is a herpetologist just bugs or just spiders or just, you know, just amphibians, and I still can't remember, but I was close. So sometimes I'm just close.
That's close. I was going to guess, but I'm going to keep my mouth shut.
So, I really can't remember.
I think I know, but I...
Is it snakes?
No. Well, there are snakes involved, yes, but I don't know whether you can exclude amphibians, too. So,
okay, so it's amphibians.
Well, no snakes, I think. I know. I'll have to ask my friend Thane Maynard, the director of the Cincinnati Zoo.
I'm sure you have a million callers saying, herpetologist is blah, he's so stupid.
Well, you have broken up the book into two sections. Did you find they fall into these... nine different categories, pretty much. You have bornography. It's all about child birth and rearing. Martyrmony, dromineering, dronanism, ingestigation, povertunity, fidgetal, one of my favorites, homenclature, and me spoke. Did you find the words were easily in these nine categories, or could you have done more?
They actually totally lent themselves to categories. The categories came after the book. You know, it was like suddenly I realized, oh, there's a need for new words around food, and there's a need for new words around babies and sex and, of course, technology. I do still want a book for the names IKEA furniture should actually have. That's the book I really want someone to write.
I'm speaking with Lizzie Skernick. She is the author of That Should Be a Word, a language lover's guide to chorgasms, povertunity, brattling, and 250 other much-needed terms for the modern world. You can learn more about it at WVXU.org. And let's go with pornography, because that was one that always made me laugh. Especially, I had to chuckle with gestitution. Talk about gestitution.
Gestitution is when your children reach the age to finally pay you back for all of the parenting you have done to them. And a parent finally get your child to crumble about, you know, the thing. So the real gestitution, I think, is when I had to call my mom and say, oh, my God, I'm sorry about anything I ever said about your mothering. This is so hard. She got gestitution.
Let me see. There's whimperel. What is whimperel?
Oh, whimperel.
Whimperel, excuse me.
You can tell that I wrote a lot of these while I had a baby.
Yes.
Whimperel is when, I mean, I think only you need a baby to understand this, but it's when you don't move at all, when your child has just fallen asleep so that they wake up. And so you sort of stand at the door and you wonder, can I even close this door without having my child whimper and wake up? So that's whimperel.
And I really liked annoying offspring of clueless parents.
Oh, yeah. Which word is that even? I've written too many.
I know you have so many. Invertebrate.
Oh, invertebrates. Yes. And, you know, I thought of that word because I saw a man go into Starbucks with his kid to get coffee. And, of course, the pastries are right at kid level. And then the kid threw a huge tantrum, and he wouldn't get him a pastry. And I just want to add, you know, don't bring your kid into a bunch of cookies if you're not going to get him one. So
Right. It
wasn't really the kid's fault. The kid was really just upset because of the bad parenting. So that's an invertebrate.
I love how you've set this up in flow charts, because, do you create these words? Do they seem to grow out of each other? Because you start with one word like pornography, and then you have brattle, which goes into birthy and tyrant, and then bunderling and menagenda. I can't say that right, but
menagenda.
But you keep on breaking it down. Is that part of your creative process?
Oh yeah. Well, that's also something the words do naturally. But then, you know, so they both get broken down. They get broken down, you know, from a more general word to words that are increasingly sort of recondite, that, you know, not everybody needs whimperel, right? But
Right. Everybody
knows what pornography is, because you're just all of these images of children and things about children constantly blasting at you. So they just lent themselves to that, and I went with it. And I thought it was actually sort of fun. You know, you'll have this grand category, but then people really experience all sorts of different things throughout food or marriage or technology. So you sort of need them all in there.
I want to say you made reference early to the eights, and you mentioned plasticate, which is to mistakenly bite fake fruit, in case anybody was wondering what plasticate meant. And fidgetal, define fidgetal, because, boy, when I saw this, I guffawed.
Fidgetal is how we just cannot stop checking our devices, our inability to stop checking our devices. We're all very fidgetal nowadays.
And we can sometimes showverdose.
Yes. Oh, showverdose. I think that's my favorite word. Showverdose is to binge watch a TV series. And oh my God, I have been showverdosing on Project Runway. You know, there must be years and years of that series lately. And of course, it's on Hulu. So, you know you're showverdosing when the show's theme just starts running in your head.
Well, you mentioned the H. By the way, I'm talking to Lizzie Skernick. She is the author of That Should Be a Word, a language lover's guide to chorgasms, povertunity, brattling, and 250 other much-needed terms for the modern world. We're talking about the fidgetal chapter of the book. And you mentioned the eights earlier, Lizzie, but oogles are in there too. A lot of oogles.
Oh, yeah.
I liked Rugal, regretting search. What are some of the other oogles?
Oh, well, this, speaking of babies, so, you know, when you're pregnant, you really need to think about where bathrooms are, wherever you're going. And so Lugal is to try to use your device to find the nearest bathroom.
Lugal the loo.
Yes. Hotels are particularly great. They won't stop a pregnant lady just wandering around. Just advice for any pregnant women out there.
Well, there's also Hoogle, looking up a person online, and Trugal. I like Trugal.
Trugal is something so many men have done with me on dates, and I have just never gone out on a date with them again. And it's where you say something, and they immediately get out their phone to check if you're right. They say, that's not true. And then they check, you know, someone didn't believe me that Warren Beatty was in Splendor in the Grass. And I was like, I know, I've seen the movie 100 times, he's in it, and they needed to look it up. And so I just said, no more dates for you, my friend.
Well, we dipped into pornography and fidgetal, but what was your favorite section coming up? I mean, you know, obviously your parenting experiences informed pornography and, you know, many of the other categories. But is there a particular favorite that you like turning to, Lizzie?
Well, you know, so I'm a freelance writer, so the money section is big with me. So Bankst was the first one I made up for that. And that's looking at your increasingly empty bank account at the ATM, becoming filled with Bankst. So, and then there's also, you know, I'm in New York, so everybody is always living above their means. So those are the spentry. There were just a lot of fun words with money because, you know, obviously our economy is sort of in the toilet, so you just have to find a way to laugh at it if you can.
Indeed, right. So what have you found as you've been meeting and hearing from readers about your book, That Should Be a Word? Do they have some favorites that they wish you had included, or?
Everybody, this is what's very interesting to me. Everybody has a different favorite, and I mean a really different favorite. My cousin loves Dauntlet. Dauntlet is a really small thing that you have to do that is nonetheless totally stopping you from doing it. But then other people love Drafter Birth. Which are the babies that you bring to bars, which is a big thing we do nowadays. You know, and then you have people who like weird ones, you know, people like depression, which is to always think a bad thing is going to happen, to be predicting bad things wherever you go. That's depression.
I like dready, too, the state of being always ready for the worst-case scenario. And I know
people
who are dready all the time.
And you want them, you know, during Sandy, you got to seek out those dready people because they're the ones with the toilet paper and the Campbell's soup.
Well, you've come up with all these great words, Lizzie. Is there anyone that has been a bigger hit than another? And anyone that people keep coming back to at all?
Well, I would say fidgetal has totally been the biggest hit. And people also really like dromineering. Dromineering is someone who rules a situation by histrionics. And all of us know someone dromineering, so it's nice to be able to say, stop being such a dromineer.
Well, I love the words, and you always make me both laugh and think, Lizzie. Thank you for taking the time to talk this morning.
Oh, thank you.
Lizzie Skernick, the author of That Should Be a Word, A Language Lover's Guide to Chorgasms, Povertunity, Brattling, and 250 Other Much-Needed Terms for the Modern World. You can find it where books are sold and learn more at our website, wvxu.org. This is The Book Club at 91.7.